So, there has been already. This is not a new topic, neither to this committee, neither to the institute, and in general audience. It has been discussed at several platforms already. It went through the financial committee. It went through the scientific council, and now it's at our PAC. Basically, the general agreement is that this project should go forward. But before we get to that, I'll give you some introduction, some overview of the prehistory of this topic, and then report on the most recent development. According to the agreement that I have just mentioned, there has been formed a working group that has people both from our institute and also on the other side from the Jagiellonian University, namely the synchrotron Solaris in Krakow. And these people, we have had several meetings where we have discussed the details of the collaboration of the project. So starting from the very beginning, we are the condensed matter program advisory committee, and so I don't really have to remind you that condensed matter research is active field at JINR. There are some very interesting science that is being researched. At the moment, most of the experimental work in this field, in this research, is done at the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics using mostly the neutrons, using the IBR2 reactor, as we have heard even today and on previous meetings as well. This is, of course, given by the fact that neutrons have some advantages. Compared to other techniques, especially they are sensitive to magnetic properties of the material. They are sensitive to the light elements and so on so far. Of course, the one of the biggest disadvantages of neutrons is the low brilliance of the neutron sources, as we have seen in the comparison between the X-ray sources or synchrotron sources and the neutron sources. The situation is obviously completely different in from the point of view of X-rays, where X-rays actually they have disadvantage. They are not so sensitive to the material properties that I have just mentioned previously. On the other hand, thanks to the very high brilliance of the sources, they can benefit from this brilliance and. Even the low sensitivity at the level that they are able to measure, even the magnetic properties, they are even able to measure the light elements these days. So it's not really fair, it's not really right way to compare these two techniques side by side, saying which one is better, whether the X-rays or neutrons. What really needs to be done is to look at these two methods from the point of view of advantages of both of them and join them, right? And so that's what we, and besides us, of course, pretty much everybody in the science, in the condensed matter research these days is trying to use both neutrons and X-rays in the complementary way because these two techniques are really complementary and they're the biggest advantages to use them in that way. As I said, at the moment at the institute we have the fairly powerful neutron source, and so we do most of these experimental experiments using the neutrons. Unfortunately, we are lacking the opportunity the X-ray source. Of course, we have access to other synchrotron sources around the world. We can submit proposals and we go there for experiments. But that's We would like to have something more than that. We would like to have something that will be much, much more easy accessible to our scientists. And so there is a project that that appealed to us recently. It came. It started to be discussed about a year ago on the level of actually already doing it, but it started to be discussed even several years before that, where the new synchrotron facility was built in Krakow at the Jagiellonian University. The synchrotron itself is these days it's already finished and its functions. It's used in some of the experiments. There is still a lot of room left for beamlines for the instruments to be built at the instruments at the facility. And as we were looking for our options to get access to X-ray facilities, what appealed to us is that the proposal, one of the proposals they have, covers pretty much the topics, the science, the research in condensed matter research that we do already in our lab, and then we have experts in, and we would like to continue in doing. And so here is a short list of the main points that that are proposed to be done at the facility of Solaris. In this project, there have been proposed basically three end stations, three instruments, we can say, based on the synchrotron radiation. These are the macromolecular X-ray crystallography, small angle X-ray scattering, and Pavder diffraction. In addition, there was an idea to get the cryo transmission electron microscopy as a complementary method to X-rays and improve the results and the research, the field of the research that can be done there. This has been actually already shown at our meetings. This has been presented by the director of Solaris last January, showing the exact parameters, the idea, the proposed beam line. So I'm not going to go into much into these details. So this sort of a project proposal of the project that has been formed. Established sometime at the beginning of this year. Now, as I said, we have came to the conclusion, we have came to the agreement that we would be interested in collaborating in helping with building such instruments and, of course, in having access to them, using them. In the meantime, since January, unfortunately, there has been a little bit of delay in the signing of the agreement and making all the necessary official steps, and so there has been a little bit of change in the original agreement, in the original proposal, in the collaboration between the two sides, between the Jagiellonian University and Joint Institute, for example, namely the cryo transmission electron microscope is not part of this agreement. It's not going to be part of this agreement anymore, and it will be the Polish colleagues decided to. Well, they were able to find another source of finances to buy the electron microscope, and will not be part of the project, of the collaborative project that we have. So unfortunately, we will not have that kind of easy access to that that tool anymore. So maybe there are other options for us if we want to get access to cryo TEM method. Now, from our point of view, as I said, we already formed the working group, and we started the discussions on what kind of research we would be interested in doing using X-ray synchrotron radiation, what kind of instruments we would like to go have for that, and so far, so on. So I'll list some of the results of these meetings, of the discussions. So from the point of view of research that we want to do is, as I already said, we want to continue the research that we do at EBER, that we do with neutrons, and we want to complement it with the measurements at X-rays. This is true for research done by our own experts from the laboratory, but also with the wider collaboration of people coming to us as users and doing measurements at the reactor. So the different fields that we want to tackle with synchrotron radiation research is, of course, the studying the material properties, namely using X-ray absorption spectroscopy. Of course, the atomistic diffraction of single crystals, but also including the diffraction from powder crystals and from powders. And this is especially true at extreme conditions, so at different ranges of temperature and high pressures. This is kind of the research that we already do, and we have experts in our laboratory. Very appealing to us is also the macromolecular crystallography and going and studying the soft matter materials, even bio-related structures, assemblies of macromolecules. Again, this is kind of a research that we already do, or our experts or our users do at the neutron source in our laboratory, and there are actually even examples where they already complemented with the X-rays having access to other synchrotron sources. So it will be very beneficial for us to have such an access for us and our users, so it all can be done at having easy access to it. Now, so to be able to do kind of a research I just listed over there, we have looked into the parameters of the source that we would need, into the parameters, into the properties of the instruments that we would like to have. So original proposal of the coming from the Jagiellonian University was using superconducting Wiggler, going with the energy up to around 10 kilo electron volts, which is sort of okay for the macromolecular research that I have showed on the previous slide, but especially for the hard condensed matter, where we want to increase the resolution, we would like to go a bit higher. So our proposal is to extend the range of the useful X-rays that will be coming from the source up to 20 kilo KeV, kilo electron volts, which can be achieved with the Wiggler at 7 Tesla. There is part of the instruments that is needed by default is the various vacuum systems and the front-end infrastructure, which we have no objections to the original proposal as was proposed by the people from Solaris, and also for the end stations that will be built on this Wiggler, we agree, or what we want to have there is to have ability to measure small angle X-ray scattering, wide angle X-rays, absorption spectroscopy, then diffractometers for the macromolecular crystallography, and as I said previously, what was in the original proposal, powder, the diffractometer. From our point of view, it is important that there will be an option for measuring the high samples at materials at high pressure. This, of course, especially the experiments, the diffraction at high pressures require some of the, or gives some additional requirements, some other limitations. As I have already said, one of them is energy, which we are foreseeing to have up to something like 20 keV. But another parameter important to us, especially at the samples at measured at high pressure, it's the size of the beam, which we need to be focused down to 20 micrometers. Original proposal has been proposed to 50 micrometers, which is seemingly not a big difference, but this is actually a point of the discussion that we are having at the moment, because it will put some restrictions on the geometry of the instrument, and the end station will have to be moved further away from the source, right? And so there will need to be some changes in the technical design. Nevertheless, so these are the parameters that we feel kind of strongly we need for the kind of research we want to do there, and so this is in a working discussion with the people from Solaris, who will be basically providing the construction. I should probably underline the fact here that we are entering this agreement more from the point of view of users, or the people who are ordering the instruments. We are not all that much interested in building and constructing them, right? So we set up our desires, we set up the parameters we want, and of course we will work together with people who will construct it, but more from the point of view of users. For the other end stations, there is the parameters that we need are pretty much reasonable as they have been outlined in the original proposal. The fact that we are not interested in developing something new or going into the details of the constructions can be seen in the fact that the parameters and kind of end stations that we are foreseeing, we have been checking the details of such end stations at the different institute, at different synchrotron sites, and we were comparing and trying to extract the knowledge already being there. And so, for example, for small angle X-ray instrument and absorption facility, we have looked at the Max Lab in Lund, that is actually very similar synchrotron to the one in Krakow, and also to the one in Moscow at the Kurchatov Institute. And from these examples, we know that these two end stations are completely compatible. They can actually be installed on one line. There is no problem. They can actually benefit from having some of the optic elements shared. On the other hand, for the diffraction station, especially if we're talking about the protein crystallography, it is clear that we need that needs to be a dedicated beamline. And so, again, this is not that hard to achieve using the splitters. And so all of these three, at the moment, we are discussing the three end stations, or beamlines, that will be sharing one exit from one of the superconducting weak layer. This is a practice at other laboratories as well. So again, it's nothing new that we are discovering. Well, in addition to equipment and instruments that are being and parameters of the instruments that are under the focus, during the discussions, it became clear that there is one more factor that it's very important, that it's needed, and these are the specialists, of course. These are the specialists either at our site being able to, well, prepare the samples, being able to do this kind of research, which up to some level we have. And of course, there are also specialists that will be available at the beamlines directly at the facility in Solaris. And so naturally, actually discussions went way discussing the user program. And so actually, I'll start from the end of this, saying that we are foreseeing, in addition to just exchanging the specialists for, you know, sort of just coming for the experiment, we are foreseeing also having people being sent there for long term, for well, it can be defined later what exactly long term means, but it will need to be long enough for people to get familiar with the instruments, to be able to do everything with these instruments. On the other hand, we also want to have people from Krakow coming here and learning and understanding what kind of research we do and what kind of samples we need to prepare for that, so for the sample preparation. And again, for making sure that we achieve compatibility, complementarity between neutrons and X-rays, so we can do these experiments both at Krakow and in here. It may be a little bit preliminary to talk about the proposal system and the beamline access. Of course, at the moment, as I said, none of these instruments is fully decided yet, and moreover, the agreement between the two institutes is not signed yet, so it's not clear even the... Well, from the official point of view, for example, we are at the moment we are prioritizing the beam lines as I have showed them. It is not clear whether we will have money for all of them or we will have to pick just some of them. So, nevertheless, it is agreed that if such collaboration will go forward and there will be a facility built, instruments will be constructed. There will be a proposal system put in a place, and so the access to the beam will be covered through the usual user program as we know it, as we have already experienced here in Dubna and at other instruments as well. As for the beamline access, there is sort of naturally, most likely will be distributed 50-50 between the Jagiellonian University and Joint Institute. So that will really give good access, good accessibility to our specialist there. And so with that, I'm actually coming to the summary. So the joint work over the concept of new beamlines at Solaris has been established, with establishing the working groups both at our institute and at Solaris. We are discussing the end stations we want to have there. They have been actually selected. We have pretty good idea what kind of end stations we want to have. And we are discussing the parameters of these end stations, the desires we have for them. And of course, even though it's a little bit preliminary, I think it needs to be clear from the very beginning that all of this will be covered by the user program. So the idea of the user program is included in the agreement from the very beginning. And with this, thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Norbert, for this excellent presentation. The floor is now open for questions and comments, remarks. Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you very much for this nice presentation, and I wish you good success with the new facility and a lot of fun with nice scientific questions and research. I'm missing one important method, and this is the microtomography, so the direct imaging with synchrotron radiation. So was this proposed in the selection as a method, or it was not proposed, and do you have plans also to implement it? Because certainly it's not very expensive instrument. It can be used as an option in addition to the proposed beam lines, combine it with small angle scattering method or even with diffraction. And also this, the tomography is also the direct link to industry. So you have also some, let's say, industrial applications which are very good for the recognition of the facility and to convince the stakeholders that it's useful for the future.
Yeah. So I can answer for the for our side and for the staff that we have in the package that we were discussing, and in that proposal it wasn't included, but at the moment there is a lot of empty space, a lot of empty beams at the synchrotron, and there is in parallel to the discussion with our institute, there are other institutes and other research groups coming into the Solaris. So I would have to check, but I would believe that they are planning to build such instrument at some other exit from synchrotron.
Thank you. Further questions, comments?
I have some practical question, namely to the users program. Exchange of specialists, you mentioned.
Yeah.
How do you think it will be organized? First, the samples will be irradiated at IBER 2 and brought to Krakow, and vice versa. Or there will be some groups from GNR who will forget about neutrons and go straight to Krakow and do the research there. And how many people, how many groups are involved in this exchange?
Okay, so first of all, I at the stage we are at, I definitely cannot give the exact numbers of what kind of how many people and for what kind of time we are talking about, but we definitely don't want people to forget about the neutrons. We don't want people to forget about the synchrotrons. So this whole project is based on the complementarity of two methods. So it may be that the same sample will be examined here in Dubna and also in Krakow. It can be the same system, but the two different samples. But what I was trying to say in the comment about the user program and the exchange of the specialist is that we need people, especially talking from our side, people that we have in the institute at the moment that do neutron scattering experiments. We need to give them possibility to learn the technique in Krakow, the technique using synchrotron. And so we would like to send them there to get that knowledge from there and then coming back and continue neutron scattering experiments. And both of them, of course.
Next question, Victor.
Yeah, I would like to add to this very good answer very shortly. If somebody worked with IBER 2, he never will forget neutrons.
Okay. Let me make also two comments, one scientific and one administrative. one. The scientific the question is the following. At the very beginning, you compared the capabilities of neutrons, photons, and so on and so forth. And as usual, one of your arguments was that photons are not really sensitive to magnetism. Now, I think this the real situation is a bit more complicated. There are at least two very efficient methods. The first is nuclear resonance scattering, but you can forget about it because it won't be available at Solaris. But the other is XMCD. And XMCD, this is really a wonderful example for the true complementarity of the two methods. While neutrons only see the overall magnetism of the electron shell, and you can make diffraction with magnetic diffraction with neutrons. On the other hand, photons see the average magnetization, however, they can make a distinction between orbital and spin magnetism, you know, with XMCD. Now, as far as I know, the old XMCD station from MaxLab, from Lund, has been transported to move to Krakow 2 years ago. So I think it is now being also, it should come to operation soon, or it is maybe already operational. I wonder why you have completely omitted magnetism as a topic from your presentation, whereas you even you have even shown an example, the magnetoferritine from Kopchansky and his coworkers. So obviously, in some respect, the magnetism is in the field of your interest. Why don't you cooperating in this field with Krakow?
Well, I'm not excluding anything. The examples I was showing, these are the ones that we were sort of actively discussing. And of course, there are all the other, one might say, smaller interests or interests that we have not touched yet, that still will be possible to measure there. And of course, in addition to the techniques and to the instrument and stations that we are planning there, there will be this will be just one exit from the synchrotron. So this will be only one beam line, basically, out of many at the synchrotron ring. So there we will have access to the other machines, to other instruments at the machine, and yeah, of course. I mean, from the point of view of condensed matter research, it is clear that more techniques that can be used in a complementary way, it's better for researching the material, for getting sort of a complete picture of the properties. So the thing is that in the presentation, in our discussions, in our project, we are sort of focusing, we are discussing the most most interesting or most or the research that we are familiar with that we do. Again, I'm definitely not excluding the magnetism, because that is a direction that we do even at our laboratory at the moment.
Okay, so in this context, I think my second comment is not completely independent of the first. In your really excellent presentation, I was wondering what it actually was. As far as I understand, that was a presentation from the directorate of the Frank Laboratory about the state of art of this business, and then it's of course okay. On the other hand, at the last meeting of the Scientific Council, there was a resolution which asked for setting up a working group from both organizations, so not only from the Frank Laboratory in this case, but as far as I understand, from whole GINR, even including interested institutions from GINR member states. So I wonder whether this presentation was already a sort of report, first report of this working group, or it will come a bit later, and then it will be really including also participation from, for example, the Bogoljubov laboratory and also from other institutions in general member states.
So this is indeed a report on work in progress of the results of this of the working group that has been established as the result of the agreement of the resolution. This working group has sort of several levels, or all the meetings that we had have been happening at several levels. So there is a very, very small group, almost inclusively from the Frank Laboratory of neutron physics. In addition, we have had much wider discussions with experts from other laboratories of the Joint Institute, and finally also with the users. I have been showing some of these slides. These are the some of the pictures are from the users, from the close collaborators of our laboratory that do condensed matter research, that are interested in participating in this project and in the research being done there. And of course, the highest level meeting we had was also together with people at the Solaris. So we sort of tried to work closely at different levels, getting ideas from our people, telling us what we need and what we may want to include in the project, all the way to the people who actually have experience in building and who will be constructing these instruments, and telling us what is reasonable to do. The whole thing is the whole project is really a work in progress. One of the problems over the last half a year was that even so the resolution was and sort of the first draft of the agreement was signed in January, there has been lack of finishing that agreement, and so officially at the moment we actually don't have agreement between the two institutions, and so even Polish the officials from the Solaris are sort of hesitated to go forward and starting the whole project of the construction. So at the moment it's sort of the discussions at the level of the scientific case.
I see. Thank you. Okay. If there are no more comments, then thank you once again, and I think we may say that the PAC is very much looking forward to consolidating this project and for the next steps. So the last presentation of this morning session comes from Professor Sharkov. It will be an information on the development of the GINR's strategic long-range plan. So Boris, the floor is yours.
Well, strategic long-range plan for GNR. International Working Group for the GNR Strategic Long-Range Planning has been established 2 years ago under chairmanship of GNR DG in order to organize the elaboration of the Strategic Long-Range Plan of GNR on the horizon 2030 and beyond. Here you see the members of this international group according to the degree of Director Matveev, who is chairing this international group. Myself and Nikolai Rysakovich are the vice chairs. And here is a list of the outstanding scientists from all over the world who are the members of this international working group, this combined group of staff members of GNR and international participation from all over the world. Well, mission of this group is very clear, Strategic long-range plan is a forward-look enabling GNR scientific community in interaction with the policymakers of GNR member state. That means with policymakers, with ministries, to develop long-term views and analysis of future research developments with the aim of defining research agendas of GNR laboratories in national and in international context. Strategic goal is to develop GNR as a world-class scientific center, which takes a leading position in the fields of high-energy physics, nuclear physics, of low-energy and heavy ion physics, neutrino physics, condensed matter physics, radiation biology, and high-performance computing, and also innovative technologies. Really, the world-leading class center. Mandate of this group is seen by the directorate of GNR as following. Based on broad consultation with the GNR member states and with wide international physics community, the international working group is asked to identify physics scientific ventures, priorities and research infrastructure that should be pursued by GNR, and that would ensure continuous GNR global scientific leadership. That we, the scientific venture and science and priorities of the top world class. Formulate a coherent plan of the best way to develop the institute in period beyond the running 7 years plan, and include a look ahead to 2030. Prepare a set of recommendations directed to GNR scientists and to their governing bodies of member state. What kind of results are expected? This document, this strategic long-range plan, will present the outcome of detailed scrutiny by international leading experts, and will help focus the views of scientific community on the most promising directions in the research field of GNR and create the basis for funding agencies to provide adequate support. You see, it's stressed that will help to focus the views on the most promising direction of research and to create a basis for funding agencies to provide adequate support. Once again, the core research areas of GNR scientific program were identified. Those are particle and high energy physics, heavy ion physics, nuclear physics, condensed matter physics, theoretical physics, nuclear biology, information technologies, high performance computing, education, and nuclear physics application and social benefits. The whole work is divided in two big blocks. On the left side, you see the strategic long-range planning for science, and very important is the development of GNR as international intergovernment organization as it is. And under the each block, there are thematically oriented subgroup according to the topics they are dealing with. What are the current activities which are launched since, I would say, 10 months, really active activity started? The active discussions of strategic long-range plan are going today on within all seven laboratories of GNR. Active discussions on plan, on this strategic plan, started within GNR administration, which is very important, in contact with Dubna local authorities. And thematically oriented subgroups are shaped at the moment. Laboratories posted on the GNR website the kickoff documents to trigger, to initiate the discussions within the subgroups. And local conveners of the subgroup are appointed, and they are already working very actively. Well, here you see the subgroups and the names of local conveners on the scientific side. For particle physics is Nikolai Rusakovich and Vadim Bedniakov. For relativistic Hawaiian and spin physics is Roman Tsenov. IT, big data, high performance computing, Vladimir Korenkov, the director of the lab. Condensed matter and neutron nuclear physics, Viktor Aksyonov. Nuclear physics at low and intermediate energies, including nuclear chemistry, astrophysics, and atomic physics, is Alexander Karpov from Flerov Laboratory. And radiobiology, including astrobiology, Professor Evgeny Krasavin. To our topic, to the topic of the PAC, I would say that this is the list of the members of the subgroup for condensed matter and neutron physics, chaired by Viktor Aksyonov. The scientific secretary is Dorota Kudoba, and the members of the group are listed here. I would say very important is that already now this subgroup is in very close contact to PAC for condensed matter, and this coordination and cooperation between the strategic subgroup and PAC is extremely important. I think the work plan for the year 18, which was requested from the subgroups, we will discuss tomorrow in the meeting of the subgroup at 3 p.m. Starts the meeting, and we will discuss the work plan and the activities of the subgroup and the projects as well. And Viktor Aksyonov, the chair of this group, already invited everybody to join tomorrow. The radiobiology and astrobiology. Here the group is led by Evgeny Krasavin. He is a local convener, and the members of the group are outstanding scientists from also many countries and from Academy of Science, very bright people, and they have also presented their work plan, very active work plan, which is both all the groups are oriented to present the first draft of the document of the plan, strategic plan, by the end of this year. Next year, this year, there is the brainstorming phase of the old work, and the next year there will be the iterative work on the document itself. In the middle of the year 19, a town meeting, so-called town meeting, with the participation of a very wide community will be organized here in Dubna to verify the views of the certain working subgroup with the community, and to present their vision of the subgroups to the research community, the international research community, and by the end, at the end of 19, we have to present a real document, the strategic long-range plan for GNR. And I would say that very important, it turned out that the development of GNR as an international intergovernmental organization turned out to be a very, very important part of the whole strategic planning, and it included the human resource policy, education and development of intellectual potential. This subgroup is led by Alexander Ruzaev. The social and engineering infrastructure is led by Sergei Kulikov, and Sergei is in very close contact to the authorities of town Dubna, and the social engineering infrastructure, of course, is very much important to develop this strategic view together with the local authorities. It is important part of the social life and life of the on the co-workers of GNR, their families, their medical, education activities, sports, and so on and so far. Then advancement of legal and administrative function of the institute, led by Mikhail Vasilyev, is also a very important part of development of the institute to optimize the administrative life of the institute, to make it efficient, modern, minimize the bureaucracy, and bring it at a real level of world-class administrative function of the institute. And involvement of new member states, international relations, is a very important issue because we are the international intergovernmental organization. GNR and this group is led by, logically, by Dmitry Kamanin. Well, the working documents of international working group for GNR are available on the Indico site, and what is very important, that the whole work for strategic long planning is to be completed by the end of next year. And therefore, once again, I join the invitation by the chair of the subgroup to come together tomorrow, 3 p.m., to discuss the issues related to the subgroup, topical subgroup. Thank you for attention.
Thank you very much, Boris Yurevich, for this excellent presentation. Questions, comments? I myself have a very brief question. Obviously, the focus of the whole strategic planning is beyond the present seven-year plan. Nevertheless, it would be nice to see whether there is a connection to the present seven-year plan and especially to continuous upgrading of the present seven-year plan. So previously it has been foreseen that laboratories will submit proposals for possible changing of the seven-year plans. Has it already happened, or will it be done? If yes, will be also a part of the strategic working group or not?
Yes, of course. And the life and the whole development is continuously, and the whole development for future comes up from the current activities of GNR, which are going along the present 7 years, 7 year plan. And of course, the it should be continuously followed and pursued by the new planning. And of course, the new ideas, the new projects, the new developments of research activities, infrastructure, they are growing up from what we have today and what we'll have in the coming years of the present 7 years plan. But it is the subject of the subject of the activities of the certain subgroups. They have present this continuity of their vision for the future, starting from what has happened now, what will happen in 2, 3, 4 years. And this is, of course, very important to take into account.
Thank you very much. Further comments? If not, then we may conclude this morning session. Thank once again for all presenters and for your participation. Now we will continue with a lunch break, and we will come back by 3 p.m. And we'll continue our work with reports and proposals on progress and themes approved for completion in 2018 and the new projects. So, buon appetito. Приятного аппетита.